Thank you again. And Dr. Schultz and Brenda will be right with you. So I'm going to round up the rest of those people. Oh, speaking of the, here he is.
Thank you. Boy, it's amazing when everybody gets back with that short a time. Sometimes when I speak after the morning session, no one comes back in the afternoon. I met Brenda Michaels in my clinic. In the last few years of my clinic, I was almost exclusively working with people that were dying or one killer or degenerative disease or another. And I remember Brenda coming in, and I remember doing my butt-kicking routine, and she was doing a little disagreeing with me and a little arguing with me, and I did my butt-kicking routine a little bit more. And then at one point she looked up and she said to me, she goes, "Well, you know, part of my healing is about empowering myself and making up my own mind and disagreeing, and it was these things that I didn't do that got me into trouble in the first place, made me sick." What impressed me most about Brenda was not only her ability to heal herself. Heck, in the first 30 seconds of her visit, I knew she was going to heal herself. It got to where I could see who was going to heal themselves and who wasn't in my clinic in the first few seconds of their visit. The winners from the losers. The believers from the non-believers, those who powered themselves up and those who talked themselves out of it. Brenda was a winner, an extremely powerful person that turned her power around instead of using it against herself like she had, started using it for herself and took her energy and her dynamics and healed herself with it. And taught me a lot about how to empower patients to be themselves. So, what can I say? You're blessed. You're very lucky. We're all lucky to have her here today. So let's have a big round of encouragement for Brenda Michaels.
God, what this man's been telling you is so true. You know, what you're going to get here with Richard is the truth. And it's time that we all started telling ourselves the truth in life and hearing it. And appreciating it, and embracing it, and running with it. I mean, I'm sitting back there listening to him, and God, he makes my heart sing. Richard was a great inspiration in my life. You know, the first time I talked to Richard, I was on the telephone, and I was living in Seattle. I had been here and moved back, and I was in the throes of my disease. And I was actually under another doctor's care. When I talked to Richard the first time, it was my third bout of cancer. I had my first bout when I was 26 years old. I was diagnosed with third stage cervical cancer, and it resulted in a hysterectomy. And you know, at 26, I was about as unconscious as can be. I didn't know anything about natural healing, never heard the term, didn't know what it meant. Was raised in a family where, you know, the minute you get sick, you go to a doctor. And the doctor throws the medicine at you, and they treat the symptoms. So I'll let them take all of my female organs at 26. Thank God they didn't offer to do chemotherapy, because I probably would have gone for it. I didn't know any better. And I went on with my life, and a pretty miserable life when I was 26. I was married when I was 18. I think I married my father. And I love my father. Trust me. But I married a man very similar to my dad. And I was in a really bad marriage. It was very abusive emotionally and physically for almost 13 years. I didn't get out of that marriage until I was 30. So I was still in it for the next couple of years after my surgery. And I thought I was done with cancer. Doctors told me, "We cut it out, you're fine." I went, "Yay, I can go home and I can go right back to all those habits I had before." My drinking, my smoking, my unhappy marriage, a job I was really good at, but I hated it. It was so unfulfilling. Didn't make my heart sing. I knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be, but I had no clue where I was supposed to be. So I spent the next, After my divorce at 30, I probably spent the next 4 or 5 years really abusing myself. I went into that whole self-destructive mode that you go into. You know, you're not worth it. You're not enough. You have a failed marriage. You have a job you hate. You know, you're alone in the world. Nobody loves me. I was the victim. How many of you here have felt like victims in your life? Now, be honest. Boy, oh boy, is that a downer. And I'm telling you, that's a killer in itself. It's a killer. But I was a big victim. I really got into some heavy-duty drinking at the time. I upped my smoking, think about another pack a day. You know, I smoke as much as I could. I sometimes had 2 or 3 cigarettes going at one time, you know, that chain-smoking kind of thing you do, because I had so much anxiety. I know I must have been depressed, although I didn't even know what depression was back then. Started drinking considerably more. Used to be a wine drinker. I thought, hey, that isn't enough for me. I got to do a little more. So I got into more of the hard liquors. I started smoking marijuana. You know, we do these things because we're numb. We want to numb out. We don't want to feel those real feelings and get in touch with really what's going on in our lives. And you know, Richard is wonderful because he talks about the emotional and the spiritual healing that has to go along with healing. And it's about healing. It's not about racing to a cure. Took me a long time to figure that out. So I beat myself up real bad for a long time. Was in and out of several relationships again. They mirrored right where I was. Unfulfilled, unhappy, stressed out, uptight, control freak, as I was myself. You know, my dad's a real controller, and each man that I picked out was a real controller, and I was a real controller, although that took me a long time to figure that out. How many of you in this room are control freaks? Stop it! I'm telling you, it's a killer. You can't control a damn thing in your life. That's where faith comes in. You know, it's belief is a mental thing. Faith is an emotional, heartfelt, invisible thing. So you can say you believe all you want, but until you let go, you have no faith, my friends. And faith is what you need. You need it alongside of your belief system, and the control stuff is just, it's a downer. Having had cancer, as many times as I've had it, people say, well, you know, cancer patients are really angry. Well, yeah, we all got a lot of anger, don't we? A lot of anger to process. But I'll tell you what's more prominent in cancer patients, because I do a lot of counseling now, is our need to control and our need to be perfect. Our need to control and our need to be perfect. Those are two big triggers. And if you got that going on, you might want to take a look at it. At the age of 39, I was remarried. Wonderful guy. Not with him now, but he's still a wonderful guy. My life was a little bit more on track than it was from when I was 26 and going through all my stuff at that time. But I still wasn't aware, and I wasn't happy. I thought I was. I moved to L.A., and it was my idea to move to L.A. because I wanted to pursue an acting career. More than an actress, I wanted to have my own talk show. And I really did want to make a difference. I just wasn't sure how I was going to do it and what platform I was going to use, but I thought I'll come down here and I'll get trained. My husband wanted to get into the industry. He did. He's becoming very successful here. And I thought life was pretty good. And 2 months before my wedding, I found a lump in my left breast. And I went, uh-oh. And I went to 4 doctors, 2 in Seattle, and 2 here, all breast specialists, all have dealt with breast cancer, and they all gave me the same story, which I find to be incredibly ironic. Mammograms, ultrasounds, no needle biopsy, no nothing, just telling me the same thing, just based on those particular modes of how they detect. They were inaccurate. And I let this lump go for 2 years, thinking I had a benign lump, because that's what I was being told. But there was a part of me that knew better, that part of me that I was in a lot of denial about. that part of me that was screaming at me that there was something much more critical going on here that I wasn't paying attention to. I was doing a modeling job here one day. I was actually doing a trunk show. This breast, the tumor in this breast had grown from the size of my little finger to at least a half dollar size. And it was so tender, I couldn't put clothes on. And I was going off to do this trunk show where you have to do like four or five different changes. And overnight, literally, I had developed a lump under my arm. And that hurt too. I could hardly put my arm down. And I remember I went in to do this trunk show and the lady that was putting this on, I went up and I did my first little strut across the thing, you know, that you do. And it was just so hard for me to muster up a smile and to be in the moment with it. And she comes backstage and she said, "Brenda, what's wrong with you?" She said, "Your pizzazz and whatever you have, it's missing." And I said, "Well, you know, I have to admit I'm not feeling very well." And she says, "Yeah, it shows. Is it serious?" And I said, "No, I don't think so. At least that's what the doctors are telling me." And she says, "Well, what doctors and what are they telling you?" "Oh, I've got this lump on my breast." And I said, "You know, it's so weird. It showed up under my arm this morning. It's just so sore." And I said, "You know, I don't know if I can complete this show because I can hardly stand any pressure. I couldn't wear a bra. I just couldn't. It was too painful." And she said, "I've got to see this." So she drags me back into this little room and she makes me show her my breast. And she panicked. And man, when she panicked, I panicked. And she said, "You have got to get to a doctor now." And she took the time out of owning this store and putting on this trunk show to call her doctor that afternoon. And I had an appointment the next day. And I'll never forget when I went in there. And I didn't know anything about natural healing yet. I just knew to go to the doctor. I got lucky in one respect. I had a doctor that was compassionate and understanding and paid a little bit of attention to me and what I had to say. I'll never forget, he examined my breast. He came over, took my hand. He literally had tears in his eyes and looked right at me and said, "Honey, why haven't you had something done about this?" Well, I knew I was in trouble. I immediately started to cry and I said, "My God, I've been trying for 2 years. Well, what did they do? Well, they did mammograms and they did ultrasounds. Well, did they do a needle biopsy? No. Well, I'm going to do one right now. And I want you to wait for the results. I'm going to have a runner take it to the lab." So we did the whole procedure. I sat in his office for 2.5 hours. First time I got on my hands and knees ever in my life and prayed. First time ever got on my knees and I prayed. And of course, I prayed out of fear and I prayed, "God, dear God, save me, and this can't be happening, and don't let him take my breast," and all the things that we do when we're in that kind of fear. And sure enough, he came back in his office. I was actually put in his office, and 2 hours later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. A week later, I was in having my left breast removed. The good news was the tumor was contained. The bad news was I let him take my breast. And I didn't know where to go from there. They did offer me chemotherapy at that point, and I was smart enough to refuse it. Don't tell me why. I just didn't want to go through that, I guess. Maybe call it vanity. I can't remember. It might have been losing my hair. I don't know. But I got on my feet, and I went right back to living my life, unaware that part of how I was living my life was diseased. Very diseased on many, many levels. Physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually diseased. A year later, in a routine mammography, guess what? Got cancer in my right breast. And I'll never forget when I went in for the biopsy, my doctor comes into my room afterwards because it was like an in-out kind of thing. And I asked to stay awake during it, so they just gave me Novocaine. And they went in and did the biopsy. And he was going through the whole procedure on the operating table, and I'm listening to what he's saying, and he's saying, "You know, honey, I don't think this is cancer. This tissue looks really good. I think these little cells down here, they were calcium deposits, are pretty normal. But we'll send it to the lab, and I want you to wait and go back to your room. They'll wheel you in, and you and your husband just wait." So I went back in feeling really good. Gosh, my doctor doesn't think it's anything. And my husband and I were actually celebrating. And what we were going to do in a day or two after my soreness wore off to celebrate the fact that I didn't have it again. And I'll never forget when he walked through the door, it was almost the same expression he had the first time. And he cried. He said, "You have cancer again. And the bad news is where it's sitting, I have to take the other breast." I lost my other breast. This time, the cancer had spread into the lymph nodes. And now I'm being shipped from oncologist to oncologist to find out which one I can work the best with, because they're going to do radical chemotherapy on me now. My history, what's gone on in my life, everything that's going on with me physically indicates I'm in deep trouble. And you know, I guess I look at my disease as a real gift in my life. It was a catalyst for me. It was a damn good teacher. Because that very day, when I had to make a decision about where do I go from here, is the first time I decided to listen to myself and my body that screamed at me, "You can't do this again. If you do, you'll die." And I began to look into natural healing. What does that mean? How do I go about it? Where do I go? How do I approach it? And I didn't have a clue. I literally didn't have a clue. I just knew I couldn't follow what these doctors wanted me to do any longer, or I would die, because that was the message I was getting. How many of you get messages that you don't listen to? Now be honest, raise your hands intuitively. Why? Do you ever ask yourself why? Because we've been trained that those guys out there absolutely know better than we do right here. And the gift that Richard gives each and every individual in this room, and it's one of the things I absolutely love about this man, is he says no to that, and he says, "You guys are responsible. I got something here that works. You better believe it. But you are responsible for your own healing process. Even to the point of death. And death is just another process of life. And when we really get that we are the ones responsible, we can take charge." And for some reason that day, sitting in front of the chief of staff of Cedars-Sinai, telling me we're going to do this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this for the next 6 months, and my body is screaming, "You're out of here." I walked out. I said, "I can't do this," because I paid attention and I trusted for the first time that my body, my own body's intelligence, had something to say about this. And I had never been connected to my body. And ladies, not just excluding the men here, but I have to say, how many of you women, to be honest, have never liked your bodies? Come on, I want to see the hands, because I never liked mine, and I have a pretty decent body. We beat ourselves up so much. We are so critical, and we don't want to get into any relationship with these bodies. And these bodies are the vehicles carrying our souls and spirits around here to divinely express on this planet. My God, what a gift. What a gift. That day I got into relationship with my body in a big hurry. I also started looking at, did I have a death wish? Did I somewhere in my subconscious have a death wish? And you know what? I did. Because I was that unhappy in my life. I was that out of touch with who I am. Floating out there in this material world, listening to everything out there, trying to make it big, trying to do this, trying to do that. And I wasn't in the moment, in myself, grounded here on Mother Earth in appreciation for one damn thing, including myself. So do you see why I feel my disease was such a gift? That there is a gift in every single thing that happens to you, and nothing happens randomly. You really create everything that you do live, think, eat, and breathe moment to moment, including your diseases. And every one of you created the opportunity to be here. Thank God. Richard created what he had, and he did something about it. And that's what I decided to do. And when I took matters into my own hands, things started to show up in my life that was incredible. Richard Schultz shows up in my life. Somebody said something about Dr. Richard Schultz. And he had these herbs, and he was a healer, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, something in me, just like that, I got to meet this man. I got to call this man. I got to do whatever it takes to get in touch with this man. And the moment Richard and I spoke, I knew. I knew. I loved that man the moment I heard his voice. I felt this bond with that person. It's like I knew this soul that was talking to me on the phone. It was no accident that I was guided to do that. I also used another doctor in New York at the time. He didn't have the exact program that Richard had, but he had something kind of similar. It worked for me for a while. But regardless, I took matters into my hands. I paid attention to my intuition. I trusted. I learned to listen to my body. When I got those hits on people, I went for it. You better believe it. In the snap of a finger, I didn't care what it took. And I paid attention. I'll never forget. Richard was pretty amazing for me. Inspirational. Didn't have much money then. He knew it. He was great about that. I came down, stayed at his house in Malibu at the time for a whole damn week. He put up with me. And he took me out for dinner one night, and I got sick. Remember, Richard, how sick I got? You back there? Thanks. Real sick. He nursed me that night with one of his ginger concoctions. I looked at that stuff, and I said, oh, God. You think you've been throwing up now, Bren? You're really going to throw up when you drink that stuff. But, you know, it was Richard, and I trusted him. You know, as soon as that stuff hit my stomach, I stopped throwing up. I'll never forget the next day. He says, you know, you're going to go to the ocean with me. It was a gray day, and I thought, Jesus, I was sick half the night, and I think I lost 10 pounds that night, and it's a little gray out there. It's a little windy out there. And, you know, he had me in the ocean before I knew it. Uh-huh. He's a persuasive guy. But, you know, all the time that I was there, I was healing. I was doing my healing work. I was allowing my healing work to progress. I was in the moment with Richard. And I was saying yes to myself, giving myself permission to be in the moment and to experience the healing that was available for me. And I continued to get better and better and better. And I still, to this day, am a work in progress. How many of you are work in progress today? We're all works in progress. Yay! Every one of us. And I'm always listening for new ideas and open to higher possibilities. And I learn when I'm out here as much as I teach. And that's what Richard does. That's what it is for all of us. I'm no expert on anybody's life but my own. And I can only share from my perspective, my journey, why I did what I did, why it's so important, and why as a society we have to move back in this direction. Because if not, we're all going to be out of here. And yeah, we all sooner or later, there's no doubt. But a lot of us are going to go sooner than we need to if we don't pay attention. And we don't start to share this with other people. And you know, the enthusiasm that you get from doing these healing things that Richard teaches, the life that you feel just from the food and the cleansing and the clarity that you get, it's so stimulating and so fulfilling, and I have such a passion for it. And some of the concoctions he's come up with, I have to tell you, are not the easiest to swallow, right? But damn it, every time I do it, I feel so good. And I know that it's part of life, and it feels like it's got life in it. It's alive, and it nurtures me and nourishes me. And I am telling you, I'm into everything that nurtures and nourishes me. Call it selfish, I don't care. You call it whatever you want. I loved what Richard said, you know, if you're in a job that you're not happy, stop, get out. If you're in a relationship that doesn't serve you and your highest good, get out. Do whatever it takes to stand in your power, in your glory. Every time you do that, you do it for everybody else on the planet. It's consciousness. Every time you take a leap forward, we all take a leap forward. Every time you embrace yourself a little deeper, a little wider, a little higher, we all get to. You know, I really found out what the secret of Richard's herbs were. They radiate with a consciousness. Not just the herbs themselves, but Richard's consciousness. His intention. Every time I take his herbs, I imbue it with my energy, my intentions, and my consciousness, and it strengthens it even more for me. Does that make sense to you? That's why his stuff is so powerful, and it works so well. And it's not about, do I live 10 years from now? It's how are you living in this moment, right today, right now? Are you happy, fulfilled, joyful, blissed out, excited, passionate, alive? In this moment, right now, right here, not 5 minutes from now, not 5 hours from now, not 5 days from now, not 5 months from now. Right now, moment to moment. That's what it's about. It's living in that moment and being conscious every moment of what you're thinking, what you're doing, what you're imbuing out there, what you're putting out there, what you're taking in. Richard's stuff is blessed because he blesses it. Whether he says, I bless this, or whether he just imbues it with his energy, it's a blessing. What do you think happens when you imbue it with your energy and your blessing? How much does it expand it? How much more powerful is it in your life? Every time we gather together like this, how much do we raise consciousness? One hell of a lot. That's exciting to me. That turns me on. That makes me passionate. That makes me feel alive. That's how we create a difference in our lives moment to moment. And then when we collectively come together, wow, we can move mountains. And it's changing. Agreed? Is it changing? You bet. Are we changing it? Yes. You guys are great. And please, pat yourselves on the back. You're here. You're here. You're listening. You're participating. Jesus, it's wonderful. Because you could be off in a bar somewhere, or you could be out in a movie somewhere, or you could be doing a lot of things, but you are here. And you're saying yes. You're saying yes to life. And you're saying yes to natural healing. And that's what's important. And in that moment of awareness, day to day, is all you need to do. It's all you need to do. Killing, getting rid of, none of that works. It only creates resistance. Being totally in the moment, understanding you're in charge moment to moment, and you make a difference right in what you're doing, saying, thinking, breathing. That's natural healing, my friends. It's what it's all about. And thank God for the Richard Schultzes of the world, and thank God for the me's of the world. I will pat myself on the back. But I love doing this. And I love this kind of crowd. Because I speak to a lot of dense people. Does that make sense? And I don't mean that in a judgment, but there's just a lot of density out there still. And thank God we're getting through it and lightening up more and more and creating more lightness out there. But when I can get in a crowd like this, oh, this is heaven. Thank you. Thank yourselves for being here. Thank Richard and his team. They've worked hard to give this to you, and it's a lot of work. And thank God. Thank God for the moment right here, right now, that all of you are here. You're all participating. You're all lending to consciousness. You're all lending to natural healing. Thank yourselves and thank God. Thank God that you had the opportunity to be here. Have the most fun with it you can. Because this is fun stuff. This is all play. Don't make it work. It's not work. It's the best thing you'll ever do for yourself in your life. And you will be a different person. And that's what it's about. Totally changing every molecule, every atom, every cell, every thought of who you are now in this existence and becoming more of who you really are, those divine spirits in these bodies expressing. Yeah? And just wrapping it up is just to say thanks for all of you. And the love I feel in the room and the support I feel here, because it's just a reflection of who you are. And I'm a reflection of that back. God bless every one of you. And Richard, God bless you. Sally, Adam, all of you, thank you for allowing me to be here again. It's really been a pleasure. And I'm going to give you back to the man. Okay?
I don't know how to hold and talk and walk at the same time. Wow. I couldn't leave. I tried to, but I had to hear this. It makes 20 years in the clinic worthwhile for just one of these, doesn't it? Yeah.
Hydrotherapy. I wanted to share with you what I meant by that. Hydro meaning water, therapy meaning therapy. What I did in my clinic may be different than others. I've taught in Europe for 15 years. I mentioned that all over. In fact, herbal medicine is the form of medicine, the original medicine, used all over Europe. And so in Europe, I can teach at universities. I've taught at Cambridge University, Oxford, Trinity Medical College in Dublin, Ireland, one of the oldest colleges over there. This is accepted medicine in Europe. But as I traveled through Europe all the years, I also went and visited numerous hydrotherapy clinics. Very interested in this therapy that we don't really have much of in this country. From Montage-les-Bains and border of France and Luxembourg to Baden-Baden, Germany, to Malvern, England. Wherever I would go, I would investigate hydrotherapy. And I went to Hot Springs, Arkansas once to undergo some of the hydrotherapy routines there. And there were 12 bathhouses in Hot Springs, and 10 of them were shut down. It was very big at the turn of the century, even up till the middle of this century. President Roosevelt went there for his ailments. People came from all over the world to undergo the therapeutic water treatments. But they were all closed down except for two, and one was closed down for renovation, and there was only one left open. And when I went up, there were all these people sitting on the porch that were quite old and drooling and in these kind of wheelchair type things. And I thought, it's like a sanitarium, and I don't know if I want to go in here. But it was the only one open. And the sign said, you know, $10 for this, $5 for that, and $40, I think, or $30 for the whole treatment. And I wanted the whole treatment. But the people were a little strange and yucky, but I went in anyway. And they put me in this big hot bath. And when I was in the hot bath, they made me drink all the hot water, and I started sweating and heating up from inside and heating up from outside. And just when I thought I was going to spontaneously combust, they put me in another cabinet, and ice cold water jets hit me from all corners of my body, even from underneath. Woo! And then they put me back in a hot tub, and then another cold shower, and then a sitz bath, and then they put me in a room with hot radiators all over the walls, and put me put ice packs on my body, and then they put me in a cold room and put hot packs on different parts of my body, and then they put me back in a hot bath, and then they gave me another one of those hot cold showers, and then they put me in a wheelchair and wheeled me out on the front porch where I sat there drooling. I noticed the drool kind of almost connecting to the floor. And I realized there was nothing wrong with these other people. They were just like me. They had just been through this so-called healing treatment. But it was then that I really experienced the power of hot and cold water used in various ways. And if you search through history, as far back as anybody's written, back to the Egyptian, back to the Greek, back to Mesopotamia, back to all the ancient cultures, they used hot and cold waters, even to the Indians that lived out here in Washington, Oregon, California, used all the hot waters. But we've given it up. It's not in vogue now anymore in America, but still around the world it's used for healing. I, in my clinic, was always trying to figure out how to unbreak that blockage. And I would do body work. I have 8 degrees in different deep body work therapies, and I would do surgery on people to open them up and unblock. But it wasn't until I had my first hot and cold routine that I really knew the power of hydrotherapy at moving the blood around the body. It's stimulating the nerve force in the body, it's moving the lymphatic fluid in the body, it's contracting and expanding the muscles in the body. A very powerful therapy. I think one of the most powerful. I find it unfortunate that very few people use it today. Then I traveled the world and went into all the different hydrotherapy clinics and just amazing places. Even though we think of England as being this very conservative country, I went to a hydrotherapy clinic there last year. They put me up against the wall. I held onto these rails, and they went up and down my spine with an ice-cold fire hose-type apparatus. Yahoo! If you got some crap you're holding on to, like Brenda talked about, you can't hold on to it for long when that ice-cold water's hitting you in the ass. And that's why these doctors used it. In Malvern, England, they had something about 30 feet up in the air, and a stream of cold water came out of a tank this big around. Ice cold water hit you right on the top of the head while another one was hitting you in the third eye. Kind of hard to remember why you were mad about something when you get blasted like that. And a good hydrotherapy center will have something going up your butt at the same time and something on different parts of your body. It's a tremendous healing. Hard to be cool, easy to let it out. A lot of my patients needed a little help letting it out. Hydrotherapy treatment did it. One of the basics that anybody can do is just a hot and cold shower routine, and it's real easy. When you go home tonight, get in your shower and you mix a bunch of hot and cold and you get yourself a nice shower and take a real hot shower. When it's hot and it's all over you, turn the hot all the way off. Up here in Seattle, I know what that means. Your water's colder in California. Turn that hot all the way off and take the cold water. Dance a little bit. Scream, cry, moan, sing. Gotta get physical, physical. You know, whatever like comes through, whatever you channel, do it. And then reach over and turn that hot water all the way back up to where it's as hot as you can stand it for 30 seconds. And then all the way off with the hot. You're just manipulating the hot water all the way off with the hot, and you'll have full cold. Breathe, yell, scream, cry, whatever. Turn it back up, back and forth. 7 hots, 7 colds. That's hydrotherapy. It does a dramatic thing in your body. The hot water dilates the blood vessels on the surface of your body and brings all the blood to the surface. It relaxes the muscles and relaxes and sedates you. The cold water drives all the blood deep within the body, contracts the blood vessels on the surface. That's why your skin turns white with cold water, contracts the musculature, pumps the lymphatics, and enervates you. It's a physical, emotional on and off, on and off, like a washing machine, on and off, on and off. And if you do it over the area that's sick, it will help you have your healing. So if you have a cancer or a bad hip or an arthritic knee or a brain tumor, it doesn't matter. Use your hot and cold hydrotherapy generally, but then specifically over the area that's sick. Many of you would be surprised at how your sick area is gone the next day. Really, it's that powerful. I had a man write me a letter. He had used the Incurables program, the Cancer Blitz we're going to talk about. He had done it all, except for one thing, which he said he really didn't understand and he didn't really feel like doing it. And he had a lot of skin cancer on his back, a lot of melanoma on his back. He didn't do the hot and cold showers. He did the Incurables program, the Cancer Blitz, for 3 months. He felt better. He felt great. He said he was fitting in clothes he hadn't fit into in 40 years, and his life was terrific, but his skin cancer was still there. Got the letter, said, "Hey, buddy, you skipped a big part of the program." He did his hot and cold showers, and in 3 days, the cancer fell off in the shower. Okay? He was primed. He was ready. He had done all the right things. His immune system was pumped up. The nutrition was in his body. The toxic waste was gone. His attitude was right and his affirmations were there. He just forgot a piece of the program. Don't forget a piece of the program. Add more pieces to the program. This isn't something that's carved in a marble tablet here, the Dr. Schultz program, and if you disobey it, you're going to go to hell. This is an experiment. It's what works with my patients, but you have to add you to it. And I'm going to say a number of things I want to empower you to do when you go home. But hydrotherapy, a powerful tool, the most powerful tool I know to move the blood in the body.